We begin our study today by simply defining our terms, by what we mean by generic and specific. You see that on your outline. Generic refers to a class, a kind. It's a word that is inclusive or general when referring to something or a group of things. I gave an illustration there. Dog, the word dog, is generic, can be viewed as generic. Each word can be viewed both ways depending on the point of reference. The word dog is generic if you're talking about kinds of dogs. It doesn't say whether it's a dachshund or a great dane or a pit bull or what. It's generic. It's inclusive. It refers to a kind of animal. The word specific refers to limiting or precise, something that's definite or explicit. Again, returning to our illustration with the word dog, while it is generic as the kind of dog, it is specific as the kind of animals. It is precise. It is limiting. It's not talking about all kinds of animals. And so this simple illustration shows that in our language, we understand the concept of generic and specific, though we may not use those particular terms. Okay? So, look at Ephesians chapter 3. Look at question number 3 on your quiz. Question number 3 on the quiz. What is the correct answer on question number 3?
B.
That's a very important concept. The Bible is written in human language and to be interpreted by the laws governing human language. The text that we have on your lesson do not have that statement, but that is implied in them. In Ephesians 3, Paul talks about the grace that he's been given to reveal the mystery of Christ. And he said in verse 4, by referring to this, when you read, he talked about what he wrote, and he said, by referring to this, when you read, so what I wrote, verse 3, when you read what I wrote, verse 4, you can understand. Does that not imply that he wrote in a language that the Ephesians, when they read that letter, heard it read, could understand the import or the meaning of what he said? If he had written in a language that was, I've got on here, a heavenly language that requires the power of the Holy Spirit working on the human mind to understand it, then they would have had to have some kind of supernatural power in them to understand it. Is there anybody that teaches that today?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Sir? Do the JWs teach that you have to have the Holy Spirit to understand?
Not for the people. The people go to the
watchtower. The watchtower does. Okay.
The watchtower does.
But the Protestant principle is, in Protestantism, that you have to have the Holy Spirit guiding you to understand the Bible. But that's not the case. Some will say it's written in such a way that any fool can understand it. That's not true either. You've got to be willing to exert the effort and approach it with a diligent and honest heart. Okay, so we ought to have some confidence that if we can understand human language, we can read what was written. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:11. Let me explain why I put that passage on there. The chapter is actually talking about the use of a spiritual gift of tongues or languages. But he makes a statement trying to get them to see how this gift ought to be used in an assembly of saints. And he said, if then I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be to the one who speaks a barbarian, and the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me. That is, someone that I don't know what they're talking about. And so if the Bible is not written in the language that humans speak, if Corinthians was not written in their language and Ephesians written in their language, it would not have meant anything. They would not have gotten any edification out of it. So, when we talk about generic and specific, you say, where does the Bible use those words? You're not going to find a statement, this is generic authority, this is specific authority. It is inherent in our language. It's the laws of our language. Okay, we've illustrated it with the word dog. This concept is universally recognized. And we have quotes here like we've done in a previous lesson to show this is not some peculiar Church of Christ doctrine. Here again from Pendleton's Baptist Manual of 1867. He said, it may be laid down as a principle of common sense which commends itself to every candid mind that a commission to do a thing authorizes only the doing of the thing specified. The doing of all other things is virtually forbidden. There is a maxim of law that the expression of one thing is the exclusion of another. That's incorrect. We'll look at that a little later. It's just that a specific does not include anything else, and it is virtually forbidden by the lack of authority, is the idea. Same thing a little further. Mr. Pendleton goes on to illustrate with gopher wood of the ark. It forbids the use of every other kind of wood. It does not forbid the use of every other kind of wood. It simply does not include the use of any other kind of wood. And without any other authority, it is virtually forbidden or without authority. But what we want to see is that even a Baptist writer writing in a Baptist manual recognizes that. You'll note it comes down to baptism of believers in that article. And of course, Baptists do not baptize babies. They understand you do not have to have a verse that says, thou shalt not baptize babies. They understand that the New Testament teaching is specific as to what kind of people are to be baptized, believers. And so you'll see in the article that he says, can the Supreme Court make treaties anti baptism of believers, not babies, that is infant baptism. So he refers to that very thing. Okay, the Presbyterian Confession of Faith talks about the general rules of the word. I have that bolded for you. And again, while it doesn't use the term generic, you can see that it's that same concept. And then M.C. Kerfees, writing in 1911, in a discussion of instrumental music, talked about generic and specific. We'll not read that whole article. You can read that on your own. But right about the middle where I got the bolded section, you can see, he says, we shall see, however, that generic commands may become specific and specific commands may become generic. We illustrated that with the word dog. Dog can be generic if you're relating it to kinds of dogs. Dog can be specific if you're relating it to kinds of animals. And the same is true with a command or a statement. He illustrates with the word go. Go is a generic command, but ride or walk is specific. So go is the general term. Ride or walk are ways to go. And he illustrates it with that. And so you can just read that further on your own time if you wish. Let's go to the Roman numeral 2 on your lesson, illustrations of ascertaining the generic and specific nature of authority. So I've got here four facts. Why these four facts? Where do we get that from? What have we studied thus far that talks about these four facts?
Methods of ascertaining authority.
Okay, we have talked about what method of ascertaining authority. That's correct. What method?
Inductive reasoning.
The inductive method of ascertaining authority. And so we talked about gathering the facts, and there's four kinds of facts. So here I've got an illustration. You give someone a command, go buy me a dog. That's a command. Then you make a statement, not a command. You just say, I want a healthy dog. Now, if this person wants to please you, they want to do what you will. Isn't that what we're talking about when seeking divine authority? They know you. And they know from past experience that you do not like small dogs. Remember, they want to please you. Now, what is implied is that you do not want a blind, small poodle. Correct? And you don't have to say that. Don't get me a blind, small poodle. That's implied as you gather the facts. So, harmonizing the facts, you ascertain that you're authorized to acquire a large dog in good health. Does anybody have difficulty with that? Is that not clear? Is that the way we speak? The way we reason? It is, isn't it? You probably do not have, you may if you had the back lessons, on the inductive method. We had some charts. I don't know if you can see them. They looked like this. We didn't spend much time on them. They, first one, like I said, worship, music. Those charts illustrate the concept we're talking about. Under the general category of the music to be offered in worship to God, you got two specifics. Instrumental music or vocal music. How do you decide in that general category what's authorized? Well, you gather all the commands and statements and events and implications. And we conclude that the nature of music to be offered in worship is specific. That is, vocal music. But under vocal music, you've got two choices. Singing or singing to the accompaniment of an instrument. Once again, you gather all the facts and you see that there's nothing about singing to the accompaniment of an instrument that's authorized in any of the command statements or events. But then when you talk about singing, you've got some specifics. You could sing Western songs, popular songs, or spiritual songs. Those are specifics of the generic sing. And we know that psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are what is specified. And then under spiritual songs, somebody says, do you have authority to have those song books? Do you or do you not? Yes. Where does the Bible talk about songbooks?
Under the command to sing.
That's right. It's generically authorized. Not specifically authorized. Generically authorized. So we don't go through this little process when we think about it, but yet that's how we get there. Is it legitimate? Is it a legitimate way of reasoning? So those charts I gave you on the inductive method utilize gathering those facts and harmonizing to reach those conclusions. I have another one here, assemble, place. Somebody said, where do you have the authority to meet in a building like this that's purchased by church money? And I illustrated in a class earlier. What happens when people say, well, we really don't have authority for having a building or books? What does that open the door for?
Things that we really don't have authority
for. That's right. Doing other things we do not have authority for. If you were not in that class, I illustrated about a preacher that was in Juanita's home here in the area. And she was questioning the right of churches to put out Halloween decorations in the foyer. And his response was, well, we do a number of things that we have no authority for. And I think one of his illustrations was songbooks. I don't remember exactly. So once you open that door, what's to stop you from doing anything? So here we have the idea of a symbol place. We gather all the facts. And the authority is generic as to place, whether in a building or outside or in a home.
They also show movies, Brother Steve.
Okay. And then from the idea of if a building is authorized, must we own it? Can somebody give it to us, or must we rent it? If we don't have authority to own it, what should we do?
Not own it.
Not own it. But we have authority to own it, rent it, or somebody to give it to us. The authority is generic as to how we have a building in which to meet. What if I put down here stolen? That's right. That's not authorized in the generic authority to have a building, is it? And you gather all the facts. So anyway, if you still have that lesson, you might go back and look at some of those charts that I gave you that we just barely touched on for sake of time in that lesson. But they illustrate the very thing that we're talking about as we continue through these studies. We get to backward authority a little bit later. You're going to see the same idea illustrated a little bit different way. So keep the lessons. They're reference for you for future reference and study. Okay. Question 6. On your quiz. When the pattern specifies a class or action as God's choice, what's the correct answer or answers?
B.
Only that specific class or action is authorized. Anybody believe A that you know about?
That is used to go backward analysis.
It is. What is a practical application of A that you run into all the time? You're talking to somebody about how you worship. They come visit with you. They say you don't have a piano or an organ. What's your response?
Not authorized.
Not authorized? They say, well, we sing too. I know the Bible says sing, but it doesn't say you can't play on an instrument. So this is the way they're reasoning. Yeah, we sing. We do what the Bible says. But we're free to do other things also. And then as some have pointed out in previous classes, sometimes they go to the Old Testament. And it doesn't have to have a command. I guess some might choose D. This is a mess. I can't understand any of it. That's not true. We do it every day. We go through this process every day. Question number 5. When the divine pattern circumscribes a general class or action, what's the correct answer or answers?
A.
A. The specifics in that class or action are authorized. We just illustrated with those charts. We just illustrated with go buy me a dog. And so that could be a German Shepherd. It could be some other kind of large dog because you know the person wants a large, healthy dog. All right, so these are ways that we reason day by day. I gave on the lesson the illustration as to color. Buy me a dog, black dog, white dog, doesn't say. So the specifics in that class are authorized. Okay. Turn to Exodus chapter 12. I don't know about you. To me, this is a clear-cut, example that's helpful to remember as you study this. It illustrates God's view about things as he gave his people instructions about worship. In chapter 12 and verse 3, remember this is when they were preparing for the Exodus. God is establishing a memorial feast called the Passover to remind them of their deliverance by the power of God from Egyptian bondage. So he said, verse 3, speak to all the congregation of Israel on the 10th of this month. That's their first religious month. On the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Verse 5, let me stop just a moment. If all you have is verse 3, you go out to your flock, there's no lamb you've been wanting to get rid of anyway. Got a broke leg. Can you get that one?
Yep.
You can, can't you? If that's all the facts you have, verse 3. But what must we do? We've got to gather all the facts and reach a conclusion from those facts. So, you go to verse 5 and you have some additional facts. And he said in verse 5, your lamb must be an unblemished male, a year old. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. All right, so putting all that together, an Israelite was authorized to go on the 10th day of the first month, specific as the day. What time of the day? How about 10 o'clock in the morning? Is that authorized? Specifically or generically?
Generically.
Time of day. What about color? Black or white lamb? Authorized. How about if I say I want to get a black lamb? Is that authorized? Yes.
You can even use a goat.
Or a goat. That's right. And an unblemished lamb, specific as to age, 1 year old, specific as to sex, a male. Specific as to condition, unblemished. There's some specifics for his Passover sacrifice. So here's our point. If an Israelite went out at 10 a.m. on the 10th day of the first month and took a black lamb for his Passover sacrifice, and someone asked him, what right, what's another word for right?
Authority.
Authority. What authority do you have to take a black lamb at 10 a.m. in the morning? His answer may be that it's authorized by the generic nature of the authority as to color and time of day. Is this correct? Anybody see a problem with that? That's clear, isn't it? Did God expect Israel to understand that?
Yes.
Yes, he did. He expected them to understand that. So the idea that God doesn't expect people to understand this process of reasoning is simply not true. Now, if this Israelite went out on the 11th day, let me ask you a question. What difference does the day make? Whether it's 10th day or 11th day, as long as he's going to worship God.
Specifically authorized the 14th day.
The difference is divine authority. That's the difference. That's right. What has God authorized? That's the difference. What if you can't explain to somebody what difference it makes?
Opens the door for them to use any argument for anything else.
Right. Opens the door to use that on anything else. I don't know why God chose the 10th day. Do you? Does it make any difference whether I understand why? Why did he choose baptism in water? I don't know. And so, man went out on the 11th day, took a 2-year-old lamb, a female. This looks like discrimination, doesn't it? A male lamb, not a female. with a bad eye. He'd be acting without authority, no right to do so. But the authority was specific as to day, age, sex, and condition of land. So a person who did take on the 11th day a two-year-old lamb that was a female with a bad eye, although there's no specific prohibition saying don't take that kind of lamb, they would be acting in a way that was unauthorized. Would their worship be acceptable? As far as we know, no. They'd be acting on their own.
In Malachi, he talks about that.
That's right. Good point, Sally brought up. Malachi, they were bringing blemished animals. Good point, Sally. That's right. All right. Question number 9 on your sheet. So we encourage you to do these quizzes before we study the outlines. And by the way, the quiz for the next lesson has been out there, and I think I've got the quiz for lesson 10 out there. So encourage you to get those quizzes. Do the best you can without notes, without referring to someone else. Just how well will I do if I meet these issues while I'm at work, for example? All right, so question 9. According to Exodus 25:14, Numbers 4:15, and Numbers 7 and 9, the Israelites were authorized to do what?
B.
B? Is that what you said?
B.
Be like in boy?
Be like in boy.
Be like in boy. That's the only answer that's correct. And D. Same as B, but they could use pads on their shoulders. Where does... Do any of these verses mention pads on the shoulders?
No.
No. How are they authorized?
Generically.
That's right. So, what about A? What difference does it make as long as you get the ark there?
It's a violation of the law.
Does God really don't care about that kind of stuff, does he? As long as you love God and your heart's right, he doesn't really care about how you move the ark that much, does he?
He showed
them. Ma'am?
He showed them that he cared.
He did. Anybody know where?
1 Samuel.
1 Samuel. Also in 1 Chronicles 13 and 15. He did show it. That's a good answer. He showed that he cares. So we're going to move the ark with the poles in it, in the rings, on the shoulders. But we're going to have a couple fellows from the tribe of Judah help us. Is that okay?
No.
No. So here is something that's not specified, but it's not authorized because it's not in the realm of the authority. The specific tribe or a tribe was specified. And therefore, Judah was not authorized. They were virtually forbidden by the silence of authority. Not excluded by the choice of that particular tribe, but excluded by the silence of authority. Okay, question. Maybe I ought to, in case you're not familiar with those three verses, let's just look at them right quick. Exodus 25:14. You shall put the poles into the rings of the sides of the ark to carry the ark with them. It's not an extensive statement. It's pretty short and brief, but it's very clear. Numbers adds something else. In Numbers chapter 4 and verse 15, here's something added. The sons of Kohath shall come to carry them. The sons of Kohath. So, specific as to tribe. And then the third verse, Numbers 7. See if I can get it right this time. Verse 9. What other thing is added here? On the shoulder. You put the three together. sons of Kohath, carry the ark on their shoulder using the poles inserted in the rings. How would you reach that conclusion that that's what, how the ark's to be transported? What method of reasoning? Inductive method of reasoning. You're gathering all the facts to reach a conclusion. Okay. So, we have generic, specific authority of the divine pattern. The sum total is the pattern. That is, the sum total of God's Word forms the pattern for our thinking today. Somebody said, well, there's things in the Word of God that we shouldn't do. That's right. That's part of the pattern. The generic authorizes specifics. We've talked about that. The specific does not authorize the generic. And so then we have authorized expedience. Expedience not violating other parts of the pattern or authorized with a practice they expedite. Can you give me an illustration from something we've talked about in this class today of an expedient?
Songbooks.
What?
Songbooks.
Okay, songbooks. That's an expedient. That's a good one. What about the carrying of the ark? What did we talk about? Pads on the shoulders. That could be an expedient. I don't know that you'd need them. I don't know if they're that heavy, but the point is, it is authorized to expedite what God told them to do. Question number 7 on your lesson. What is the correct answer or answers to question number 7? What? B and C, correct. Are authorized by the practice they expedite if they do not violate any other part of the pattern. C are things that speed up or make a task easier. Question number 8. If you give your son your credit card, put the keys in his hand, and tell him to go and buy 4 name brand tires for your car, what have you authorized him to do?
A and C.
A and C. Authorized him to drive the car to the tire store. Authorized him to buy Michelin or Goodyear tires, even though you did not specify Michelin or Goodyear tires. Now, what if he comes home with a new stereo system? What? He's in trouble? Okay. He said, but Dad, you didn't say not to buy it, and there was plenty of room on the credit card. We understand this concept every day. Okay. Some time ago, I don't know if you put it with your lesson, I'd encourage you to keep this article that was in the Humble Messenger. It's a good article as a whole, but there's just some wording in it that I wanted you to think about. The article is written by Donnie Rader, that Craig found somewhere. In this article, that when you read the article, of course we hadn't got this far in our study, but some of you have been through this study before. did you find anything in the article that was problematic? Anybody remember? Okay, as we are Bible students and as we're trying to ascertain the will of God, what is incumbent on each one of us when we read an article or hear a sermon or sit in a class like you're doing?
To test it against God's Word.
What?
To test it against God's Word.
To test it against God's Word. That's right. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. We don't want to be overly critical, but we do want to examine to see whether these things are so. So, Mr. Rader said, on the first column, he said, authority can also be specific, excluding everything, method or means of execution that comes within the class, which is not specified. Now, think about what he's saying. If it's specific, anything within the class is excluded if it's not specified. I know what the man means, and again, I don't want to be overly critical, but I want to show you some practical benefits of thinking about this. He said when God specified gopher wood, that excluded and eliminated the use of other wood. That's what I used to preach. Fortunately, I read an article that made me think about that. That's, if I'm right now, that's incorrect. Am I saying that other wood was authorized? No. The kind of wood was specified. Without any other information, there is no authority to use other kinds of wood. And that's what Mr. Rader means. But the way he said about singing, it excludes other types of music. Now he said about 1 Corinthians 16. I do have something on your sheet about that. We'll talk about that. He said, when God specified those to receive benevolent care out of the treasury, saints, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, that excluded church benevolence to all others. Then he said there have been a few to quibble that were wrong in saying that specific authority excludes anything. Of course, that's talking about people like me. And so, let's see. Let's look at it a little bit. I don't know Mr. Rader, never met him. It's generally a good article. Point that he's driving at, so we have no quibble with that. And Craig put that in there for us to think about the concept of authority since he knew we were studying this in the class and appreciate his consideration. All right, now look at specific include, not exclude. I have an illustration. The mom says to her son, I want you to wear your tan shirt, tan socks, and brown shoes to the church tonight. Is that specific in the category of clothes? In the class or category of clothes, those are specifics, are they not?
Yes.
Now, since specifics exclude, can he wear pants? Did she say pants? Well, if specifics exclude, must he not go without pants? Where's he going to get the authority to wear them? Is it in that statement? The kid's going to wear pants. Where does he get the idea that it's okay with mom? Where do you get the idea? Things of the past. Inductive method. That little kid can use the inductive method of ascertaining authority. Says, I've worn pants since I was a kid. Mom wants me to wear pants. He's drawing from past examples, statements, commands. That little kid knows what mom wants by employing what we're studying in this lesson. But if he wanted to press the point of specifics exclude, say, well, you, Mom, you didn't specify pants, and specifics exclude, so I couldn't wear any. Everybody gets to see my new Superman underwear.
So back to what you were saying about the wood, you said that, well, explain that to me again, because I didn't quite catch that. You were talking about gopher wood. So
about what?
You were talking about Noah and using gopher wood, so God authorized gopher wood. You're saying it didn't exclude all other wood?
Correct.
Based on the information we know. God
based on what information we had. Do you believe it excluded other woods?
But God just authorized you to use gopher wood. He said use gopher wood.
Did that exclude other woods, that statement?
I would say yes.
Well, then this boy shouldn't wear pants.
We have just information. You're saying use information you have from the past. We have no past information.
That's exactly the point. Where would you get the idea of using other wood? You'd have to have some additional facts. You have none. The statement, use gopher wood, does not exclude. It includes. That's the idea of a word including. It's specific as to kind of wood. What about white gopher wood or yellow gopher wood?
So gopher wood.
These are specifics in the general class, if there is such a thing. I don't even know if there is. We don't even know what gopher wood was.
You say the baptism, you know, hearing, believing, being baptized, repenting. We have examples where it says repent, be baptized. If those specifics exclude everything else, then that would all, that's all that would be needed. But we have other scriptures that include, specify other things. We put them all together.
Very good. Look at our example on our outline right here. Michael's point is made. Good point. Look at Matthew 3:2. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. We have what John was preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the category of what must I do to obey God or to be saved, John specified repentance, did he not? Since specifics exclude, does that exclude confessing their sins? Does it? Afraid to answer? You know the answer.
If this is all we had, yes, but it's not all we have.
If that's all we had, yes. If that's all we had, would repent exclude, or it's the fact that we have nothing else that would exclude?
The fact that we have nothing else.
Right. So if this is all we had, that would be excluded for a lack of... Right. But were they to believe? Were they to confess their sins in John's baptism? They did, at least. We know they did. So, here's an illustration, and Michael gave a good one, about the idea of believing and repenting. Those are two specifics. Does that exclude baptism? Must a man believe the gospel and repent to be saved?
Yes.
Are those specifics or generics? And as far as things to do to be saved?
Specifics.
Does that exclude baptism?
No.
But wait a minute. When you, Church of Christ people, said you got to sing, you said that excludes the piano. Didn't you? Didn't you argue that? That's the key. It does not exclude baptism, but folks, that's how your religious friends are thinking. It just doesn't include it. Now, the word faith or belief does include baptism when you understand the figure of synecdoche. That's another study. My time is past gone. All right, we'll pick up with 1 Corinthians 16, the Lord willing, in our next class.